Welcome to the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org. Enjoy the podcast.
Turning points are not the end point, but turning points are needed for the end point to take place, and turning points in and of themselves can be good or bad. But when we have a turning point that's been shaped by God, it always sends us in a Godward direction, which means that we'll always have a Godward end as we trust Him then along the way. The story throughout the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation tell the stories of turning points, good and bad. Gideon is the story of a person who was disillusioned by life, he was skeptical, and he was complaining to God. And God heard his prayer as he was hearing the people of Israel. And that prayer became a turning point for a people. Our prayer is that as you've entered the sanctuary into this place of worship, you've come here for a turning point in your life, letting the Spirit of God speak to you, enter into your mind and to shape your heart and to empower you, the actions of your body in a way that will enable you to honor Him and to live your best life. It was a turning point for Fred Rogers as a recent college graduate. When he came home after the graduation next to the University of Pittsburgh, went to the public education station, preparing to go to seminary, and he hung around the television station, and he became curious about this new medium called television. And God began to stir in Fred Rogers' heart that this medium can either be good or bad, but that he was to be a part of making it good and bringing a message to children and through the children to their families. Of course, we know how that story unfolded. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. And just the relevance and the power of how that story goes on is in the children who are now adults that were shaped by that turning moment in Fred Rogers' life that became a turning moment in their life. And with the Tom Hanks film that's out and about, it's a featured-length celebrated movie, or the documentary, it's conveying the update of a story that began by a person whose heart was open to God of what to do with this new thing that's happening. Our message series in January has been looking at Scripture and looking at our lives and to say, how is it that we can be God's change agents for this era in which we live? We know the radical change that we've also been highlighting of through the technological age. We know the challenges, like we completed the hottest decade in the history of the world. Or the temperature of the human body has lowered from the average of 98.6 to 97.5. What's your body temperature today? The change that's taking place affects us personally, it affects us around, and God says we are not helpless for the bad of the change, and we may serve Him with the good that He wants to bring into the change within our world, as well as we celebrate change that the church has been a part of. The largest movement of changing the world for good is the church. Poverty has been lowered, and more water is delivered with purity than ever before. Food is made more available by the volunteer work and the lives of the church around the globe. Bad news, good news. But good news is that we're empowered. We're not helpless. And Gideon's story gets us right into the field for that. We begin with listening into the story that Dick and Anita read for us. And we begin to think, what's going on here? Well, it was a day and time before, after Moses and before David would become the king. Centuries before the Messiah would be born into the world. It's a time when Israel had entered into this land that was called promise, but they were confused, they were bewildered. And so they would have a period of being faithful and they become unfaithful, and God would call up a leader called a judge to help them again see God's direction in their life and deal with whatever problem was pressing upon them. In this movement then, Gideon came into the story. From his story, Judges 6, 7, and 8, we see the turning point with God in view. That God is present and powerful. So Gideon wasn't able to prepare the wheat, turning it into bread, out in the public because the enemy, the Midianites, were coming and harassing the land. They not only wanted the political power over the people in Israel, they wanted to devastate them. to be in total control, where every moment of each day, the people of Israel would have to think, what are the Midianites going to do now? And in that ungodly way of the Midianites were oppressing them, Gideon had to take them into the winepress, a secret area, and prepare the wheat. And there he was talking it out with God. And then a prophet, a person that you could see, showed up and was talking to Gideon. Gideon wasn't expecting him, but this prophet began to show, and the name of a prophet is a seer. And began to say, he began with this word of, Gideon, I want you to know that the word of God has told me that you are a mighty man of valor, and God will rescue his people. And Gideon said, well, God hadn't told me that. As a matter of fact, if you'll let me, there's a lot of things I want to tell you what God ought to be doing that he's not doing. God followed that. Then when the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, and the angel of the Lord followed up and saying, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. First, a person that Gideon could see, then an angel that means a messenger, one that he couldn't physically see, but he could hear a message. He could sense this message that God was communicating. Have you felt that in your life? Howard, who was Mark Litton's dad, as an older man, was driving his car, and he, just before he began to crest the hill, he felt like there was a hand on his shoulder, though he was in the car by himself, saying, slow down, and so he did, to about 5 miles per hour as they crested the hill, only to discover on the other side that a truck had turned over. Debris was across the road. It would have been a sure death for him and for others who were around. But he paid attention to a message. So it is in your life, this Spirit of God may be giving you messages that you're tested, you see it. But when you listen to it and you put it into play, then you can see how God is revealing a hope in your life that you must trust him. Howard then would become a believer in Christ in a way that I was able to, we were able to celebrate his baptism here and officiated his funeral service. And all of this was God preparing and shaping his life to be able to trust in him. For Gideon to get this message, first from the prophet and from the angel, it was a message that his own heart needed to change, the turning of his own heart, so that he could become a person of strength. He'd become the person the prophet and the angel were telling him about him that he didn't see in himself. Phillips Brooks, a great pastor in the times of the Civil War, in which the nation was filled with all kinds of anguish and anger and killing of brothers, said, do not pray for tasks equal to your power, but pray for powers equal to your task. El Shaddai. God will give you the power to do what he's called you to do. And it's a power beyond our natural power. He'll use our natural strength, but it is beyond that in order for him to accomplish what can be done. Who would have thought that Fred Rogers, this thin man, graduate from college, could make such a colossal contribution to morality on TV, the shaping of a people. His weight was 143. He kept his weight at 143 because he liked the symbol, the alphanumeric number. It meant one, I, four, love, three is you. I love you. That was a theme of his life. I love you. Now, God hasn't given me 143 as my body weight for number. I'm still trying to figure out, much above that, what would that number be? But for him, it was helpful, and so he swam regularly and kept his weight there because it's what drove him, a turning point. And turning points in the hands of God in our life have that kind of power. It was like the prodigal son who had rebelled against his dad, went to the faraway country, spent all his money. Many of you know the story. The turning point for him is when the Spirit spoke to him, and then he came to his senses, exactly how Jesus told it. He came to his senses. It's not the climax of the story. That would be when he headed back home, his father embraced him, hugged him, and gave him again his sonship back into the family. But that wouldn't have happened if it hadn't been for the turning point. It was a turning point when Rosa Parks, who had been prepared through the course of her faith in Jesus Christ and the life of the church, who, when she would not move into the back of the bus because that was the culture of the bigotry and the segregation. But she stayed where she was as a sign that she was equal and all people are equal with each other. Now, that wasn't a turning point in her life. It was a culmination of her turn, but her act became a turning point for others. See, that's how it works. God turns a moment in your life. You become then that person shaped by the turning point. He puts you into motion, and that becomes a turning point of God's goodness into the lives of others. So to be able to see this turning point from God being shaped in us and the mighty power that he will reveal to us, too, is to hear. Is to be able to hear God's message. Change is needed. Can change happen? Yes, change can happen. God's kind of change can happen. Now, bad stuff happens all the time. But even when a bad stuff's happened because somebody turned in the wrong direction, when the wrong direction has been placed into God's hands, he can reverse it into a right direction. Of course, that's Calvary, isn't it? That's Jesus on the cross, right? That's Jesus dying for our sins and to be resurrected from the grave. He has won by the turning point in history. And of course, there's a turning point in history around Jesus. AD and BC, how it is that our era of history is judged by the kind of time of God's turning point in history. See, to be able then to be able to hear that promise that God provides of a change is possible, and we are to be God's change agents. So this prophet, then the angel, speaking to Gideon while he's kind of working with his wheat, and he's really getting into the conversation that he wants to trust is true. And so he speaks back to this messenger of God in Judges 6:13. He says, now pardon me, if you will allow me, I know this is a moment of worship, but I need to tell you something. If the Lord is with us, now why has this happened to us? Why are we being oppressed? And all the wonders that we've heard about from Moses crossing the Red Sea, getting into the wilderness, coming to the promised land, all the ways that God has worked in the past, why can't we experience that power now? Did the Lord bring us to be his change agents? And now he's abandoned us. He's given into the hands of the Midians. So he had given up the promise. He had given up the hope. And that's when the evil one will win. That's when the force of despair will conquer. But if in the midst of bringing our honest expressions to the Lord, God will say to us, I'm glad you were honest. I'm glad you named it. That's what's going on inside you. Now, I want you to hear that's not the end of the story. In our Micah 6:8 ministry team a few months ago, we spoke into the opioid crisis of our city and with our nation. And among the people that helped us with that was Joe Barber. Joe is the pastor at St. Luke's Baptist Church on the west side of Louisville. He is a man who is a pastor of a church and also has been a counselor helping people recover from drug recovery. About 2 weeks ago, I went over to St. Luke's Baptist Church and visited with Joe and his church. And this is a photograph of that handsome dude. We're in the sanctuary and you see the baptistry in the back, and there's the promise about a transformation that God makes possible for us. And Joe is smiling as a man who has been changed by the grace of Christ. He'd come to faith in Christ, then he got involved in drugs, became addicted, was connected, and was pushing drugs. And then God again spoke into his heart to say, you can change, and you can help change your neighborhood and to change your city. Recovery is a hard transformation. But in the grace of God, with human courage, the important support of a church and with family, he made that change and then became the pastor of a church while continuing this recovery program and the life of courageous people. See, when we are willing to give to God, we're willing to lift our hands and say, Lord, here is my life. And here's the situation, Lord, I feel like this is, there's no good answer to. It's just pressing on me, and I give you my life, and I give you this situation, and we really give it to him, and we don't hold on to it to bring it back. We really give it to him to allow him to reshape it. And in the reshaping it, then God will form and fashion in a way that it will just come back and fit right into our life. That's what David should have done when he was on the balcony as the king of Israel centuries after Gideon. And he looked out and he saw a beautiful woman, trusted family member, Bathsheba, bathing. And instead of just praying out God's best for her, he lusted for her. He abused his power that would lead to deceit and lie and murder and pain within the kingdom. Then David prayed a prayer, Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and the Lord will give you the desires of your heart. See, what he hadn't done, but what he knew to do, that he repented to do it the rest of his life, was to take those desires, give them to God, let God purify them, reshape them, make them with a heavenly touch for our earthly lives, and then to return those into our life. And then they're trustworthy, shaped for you. Right now, please, take your hands, lift them up like this. And whatever the Lord is saying to you, just that you give your life freshly to him. You give freshly to him. What's happening in your life, you said, Lord, I give you my life. I give you these situations. I give it to you. And Lord, we pause. We pause in your presence with your shaping power. We receive then. We receive your promises, that power in our life for your change to happen. Amen. Then courage is required. We have seen the message of God so that we could hear the message of God. And the message was, we are to be part of the change that God is wanting to create in the world. The turning point is first in us so that we can serve God's turning point in the larger world. That takes courage. Can I change and become a change agent for you, Lord? Yes, God is with you. You know, the key name for Jesus in the birth scene was Emmanuel, God is with you. It's a promise that comes right out of the Hebrew word that God is with you. And for Gideon to be able to hear that message, so the Lord turned to him in Judges 6:14. The Lord turned to him and said, now go in strength, El Shaddai, go in strength. You have and you may save Israel. I am sending you now. You're under my authority. And Gideon did a backstep, and the Lord answered and said, I will be with you. You will not be in this alone. Recently, we were on a plane that returned from Los Angeles to San Antonio, and our departure out of LAX was delayed because of fog in San Antonio, and finally, they put us on the plane, but they warned us that we don't know if the fog's going to lift. We have to land you in Dallas, and who wants to spend the night in Dallas when you can be in San Antonio? And so they tried to get us in, and it was going to be an instrument-dependent landing, meaning the pilots couldn't see. And the attendant came on with this reassuring message. We're going to try to land this plane. Well, I checked my seatbelt a little bit more and, you know, paid attention to that mask up here. And sure enough, though we couldn't see the landing, we landed. And so God's instrument of his Holy Spirit speaking and showing and working in our life forms and fashions us so that we can bring those turning points into a landing place in our world. And he is good and faithful. He needs for us to be his agents to help others experience the same. So the turning points aren't the end point, but they will turn us in the point of God's end, in God's direction. So my question for you is, where are you headed? Are you headed in the right direction? If you are, go for it in the power of God. And if you're not, turn. And he will guide you and give you his peace. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we need you, so we have come to be your servant in this world as it is, messy and hopeful all at the same time. And only through your power in Christ Jesus do we have the power for that transformation. But we have that power, and we thank you. In his name, amen. So the invitation, like that of Gideon, is what will you do? What will I do? What will we do? Maybe during the invitation, you want to come and kneel and just kind of pray to the Lord about a turning point in your life, or Sarah will be here to pray with you, and Judd will be there to pray with you, and I'll be here. And I am not going to sing, so I'm going to put this back here. Maybe you know this is your turning point of saying yes to Christ. That's the ultimate turning point that leads you for the rest of your life and to heaven. This is a time to say, to come forward and to say, Pastor, I give my life to Jesus Christ. Celebration. Or to join Trinity, to join in, to be able to come and say, Pastor, I know this is the time. I'm joining in with what God is doing here. Let's stand and respond together.
We hope you enjoyed your segment of the Trinity Baptist Church podcast. For more information about our church and to keep up to date with the latest resources, please visit our website at www.trinitybaptist.org.